Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and this special message from our own teaching elder, John Allbaugh. This message was delivered on Easter Sunday, 2016, and is titled, The Fruit of Christ's Resurrection, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. This is part one of two.
We're getting rolling here. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 1 through 7 are, the title, of course, is The Fruit of Christ's Resurrection, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And this, I think, is Mary Magdalene, but this could be any one of us. And Christ comes to us, and He offers us salvation. And if we have salvation, we should bear the fruit of Christ in our life. And that's the good fruit. But there are those who are saved who have bad fruit, and then there's who don't have the fruit, the ugly fruit. We hope to cover all three bases here. It's a five-hour sermon. We'll try to keep it down to 45, okay? Yes.
You said Ephesians 4?
Yeah, Ephesians 4, 1 through 7. So, take a look and let's see what Paul writes here. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we certainly need your help today, because as we have just read in Paul's context here, he talks about the unity of the Spirit. And yet if we take a look at the United States, look across the world, the body of Christ is so divided up. And it's fractured all over the place. And Lord, we're living in dangerous times now where the enemy is coming in our country like a flood. And Lord, unless we have unity of your Spirit, we are going to fall flat on our face, and there's not a single thing we'll be able to do after this country is overrun. But we have the power of your Spirit residing in each and every one of us. And we have the hope, Lord, that your Spirit is far stronger. And you've promised in the book of Isaiah, Lord, that when the enemy would come in, that you would raise up a standard against it. And we see no standard raised up yet today to stop what's coming on. And we pray today that through the Word of God, we'll understand what's going on in each of our lives, what's happening in our country, what's happening in the world. And Lord, it doesn't take much to be a winner. One man can make a difference. And Lord, we have the whole room here today. May each and every one of us make a difference in the circles that we live in. And may it catch on fire and spread throughout the whole world. Be merciful to us. May it be all your power and all your strength. And again, Lord, may you do a great work in our hearts and help us to try to keep that unity of the Spirit in peace, as you've said in your word. Be merciful to us now. In Christ's name we pray, for your glory. Amen.
What verses in Ephesians 4 did you do?
What
verses in Ephesians 4 did you do?
1 through 7.
1 through 7.
Yeah.
I like to get notes.
Okay, the best news this world has ever had came from a graveyard.
Amen.
He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. He is risen. And we praise the Lord for that. The resurrection truth, as we find in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen. He was seen, I think, for like 40 days. Over 500 different people saw Christ walking around. This is one of my favorite verses. I have it hanging up in my bedroom. Jesus Christ loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood.
Amen.
It's the blood is the only thing that can take away sin. Nothing else can take away. No amount of works you and I could ever do will ever take away the stain of sin. And when you and I learn to live in Christ there's no sin whatsoever. And when you and I try to learn to live in His Spirit, all the guilt is gone. It's gone. It doesn't matter if you killed 100 people. When you have faith in Christ, that is all covered. It's gone. It doesn't matter what the deepest, darkest sin you ever have. When we live in Christ, the sin is gone. And what the trouble is that we like living in the flesh nature. And when we live in the flesh nature, Satan comes by accusing us all the time, bringing up all those sins. And so we battle him. And so we have this battle with the flesh and the spirit. But He washed us from our sins. Now, get this. When He died on the cross, guys, all our sins were on the cross.
Amen.
Every single sin. So we're talking past, present sins, and God forbid, any future sins. All of it was put on the cross. We're covered from the time we got saved until the time we go up to meet Him. Every single sin is now covered by Him. Here's the invitation to be saved. Isaiah 45:22, He says, "Look unto me, all ye earth." All means all. It means all 8 billion people. God cries out to you, look unto me. Look unto God. Look unto what Christ did on the cross for you. Look unto Him. All the earth. Nobody is excluded. You can name any person you want to from the 8 billion people. Not a single one is excluded. Look unto me. That's the cry of God to the entire earth. No one excluded. Come unto me. Matthew 12:28. He says, come unto me. You come unto me. I'll take care of your burden. I'll take care of your sins. I'll take care of every single thing in your life, but you got to come to me. And He calls out, and His Spirit works. Even though you and I don't see it, His Spirit is already out there calling people, and then He's calling you and me to come into the field and help those people come to know Christ as their personal Savior. And then He says, call unto me. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's all 8 billion people. The invitation this morning is for every single person to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and call unto me, and they'll be saved. It doesn't matter again what the deepest, darkest sins are. He's got everything covered. This is the verse that I got saved with 40 years ago. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. No works here whatsoever. Now notice in here, believe in thine heart. You guys, every single one of us understands our hearts are wicked. The Word of God declares that our hearts are deceitful.
Amen.
Our hearts are in total darkness. And where do we believe that God has raised Him from the dead? In that wicked, vile, dirty old heart. Right there. I had lunch with a friend about 3 weeks ago. And he said to me, he said, John, do you know why God blesses us? And I said, that's easy. It's faith. That's the faith. Faith in God, faith in His blood, faith in the book. And he says, no, I disagree with you. I said, really? He said, I believe God blesses us because we have a good heart. Now, if I told you what position this guy had, you would crack up. He said, God blesses us because we have a good heart. I said, well, where do you get that? He says, in 1 Samuel, says when God was looking for a king, He was looking for somebody after His own heart, and that was David, and David had a good heart. And I said to him, I said, well, do you know where David got his good heart from? Where in the world? If David had a good heart, and the Word of God says he didn't have a good heart, the Word of God says that David had a wicked, a cruel, deceitful, dishonest heart. Mm-hmm. How could David have a good heart? So I shared with him, I believe it's 1 Chronicles 27:32. It just so happens that David's dad, Jesse, had a brother whose name in Scripture, his name is Jonathan. Good old Jonathan was a scribe in the temple. And this scribe knew the heart of God, because he copied out the scriptures all the time. And whenever he would go over to visit his brother Jesse, Jesse did not want to talk about the Word of God. He had 8 sons, and 7 of those sons did not want to talk about the Word of God. They wanted nothing to do with God. They wanted to live life the way to the fullest, however they wanted to live. But little old David, he says, "I'll talk to you." And so David had a fellowship with Jonathan. And so Jonathan found out that David liked hearing about the Word of God, so he started giving him copies of the Word of God. He gave him Genesis, and then he gave him Exodus, and then he gave him Numbers, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. But he ended up with all 5 books. Now, how in the world do I know that David got all 5 of those books? Because when you study the Psalms, out of 150 Psalms, 75 of those Psalms are David's. And when you take the Psalms and divide them up, it divides pretty good into those 5 books. David's Psalms, 75 Psalms, all come from the first 5 books of the Bible. How did David have a good heart? Good night. He was in the book. He was in the book reading it. He was in the book studying it. He was in the book meditating on it. That's how David got a good heart, from the Word of God. And you know what that means? That means it's open for everybody here to have a good heart in Christ. Just spend time with the book. Here's the book right here. We know what book is God's book. We've seen evidence down through the centuries that this book that we're holding here is His book, and it's in English, and we will all be judged out of this book. No other book will we be judged by. We're not going to be judged out of the Greek, because we're not Greeks. We're not going to be judged out of Aramaic, because we're not Aramaics. We're not going to be judged out of Hebrews, because we're not Hebrews. We're English. And God gave us a perfect book in English, right here, and this is the book we'll be judged out of. This is the book we'll be rewarded out of, right here. That's how David got the good heart. Believe in thine heart. The key here is believe. That's why we did the song on the parody, because the guy did not want to believe. Whoever wrote that song was talking to other Christians saying, let the Holy Spirit of God talk to you. Let Him move you in the direction of Christ. The Holy Spirit is very active. At the church that Jill and I attended for 25 years, no sermons on the Holy Spirit. None. So we used to joke about Acts 19 when Paul came across some of John the Baptist's disciples. He asked them about being filled with the Holy Spirit, and they said, well, we don't know whether there is a Holy Spirit. We don't have a clue. And that's what we felt like at the church that we was at there. Okay, there are 3 times God will meet with us. He's going to meet us at the cross. As unsaved people, He meets us at the cross. There's no other place He's going to meet you at. The call is to look unto Him at the cross. Our sin debt is paid in full. We look at that cross, He shed His blood, the sin debt is now paid. If thou shalt believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, that's the second place He'll meet you, is at the empty tomb. Our forgiveness is completed. Every one of our sins was placed in the blood. Totally on the blood. We're all equal in that. There's no way we can become unequal on that. There's no such thing as 2 higher levels in Christianity. We're all one in Christ. Our forgiveness is complete. All our sins were put on Him. And if they were put on Him when He paid the price, when He rose again from the dead, who was it that rose again from the dead? That was you and me. We arose from the dead sinless in Christ. The third time He'll be with us is at His throne. Hebrews 4:14-16 says we can approach that throne at any time. When He rose again from the dead, He sat down on the right hand of God. He's on the throne right now. And we can go to Him anytime and talk to Him through this book. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to go through a rabbi. We don't have to go through Pastor Miller, which He's happy about that. All right? We don't have to go through any. We don't have to go through an elder.
Thank you, Jesus.
We just go through the Lord.
Amen.
He's the one that paid the price.
That's right.
You guys, there's nothing special. You don't go through another man to get to the Lord.
Amen.
You go right to the Lord. I have all sorts of commentaries at home. I don't go through the commentaries to get to the Lord.
That's right.
I go to the book and I read the book and I study the book. Now, if there's something I don't know, I'll take a look at the commentary. If the Lord says, okay, take a look at the commentary. All right? But I don't do it very often. Go to the book. Go to the book. God will talk to you. You've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. God says in John, I think, 14, 15 in that area, He said the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth.
Amen.
All truth.
Amen.
You know, when I was really young, I was really stupid. I asked the Lord, I was concerned, did Adam and Eve ever get saved? Did they get saved or not? And then I read in Genesis 3:19 that God gave them coats of skin.
Amen.
He took a lamb, sliced the neck there, the blood was the payment for their sins, and then He clothed them. That's why we wear clothes. It's a picture of the lamb skins of God. That's what that's a picture of. He covered their sins, and He gave them a promise that He'd come back someday and complete the redemption.
Amen.
But at His throne, we have freedom in Christ to serve God. I shared with my family in the last couple of weeks, when I get a chance to see them, okay, two most important words you want to be very careful of. John, I think it's 12:26, Christ says, where I am, there's my servant. If you're saved today, He's looking for you at His side. Where I am, there's my servant. He's calling your name. He has a job for you and me to do. God's will for our life is identical, and that's to conform to the image of Christ. But God's plan for you and me is different. I work at a church, okay? You might work in construction. You might work for the government. I don't know what all you guys do. If you want to share, that's fine. But that's what God's plan is for you right now. Wherever you're at, that's His plan, and that's your area of circle of influence for the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
Okay? But God's will for you and me is all identical. Conform to the image of Christ.
Amen.
And we start by believing in our heart. The second verse I share with my family is that at the end of our life, we hope when we see Christ face to face, nose to nose, eyeball to eyeball, we want to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Where I am, there's my servant." And if you and I do what we're supposed to do, then we're going to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I would like to tell you this, it's not slave.
Amen.
The word slave is only found one time in the King James Bible, and it's found in Jeremiah 2:14, and good night, it's italicized. That means it's not in the manuscript. But you had 57 guys that went through the Bible 14 times, and they all agreed that word should be there. All right? That's the only time the word slave shows up in the entire 31,000 verses. The word slaves only appears one time, and it appears in Revelation chapter 18, and it's connected to Mystery Babylon. And if you guys know who Mystery Babylon is, that's exactly what that group's involved in. They're involved in slaves. They're making people slaves. And the last time I heard Christian radio, I almost had a car wreck because the guy on the radio said, "Well done, thou good and faithful slave."
Whoa.
I just about turned off the road and hit a tree or something. I thought, no, we are not slaves. We are adopted into God's family. We are the sons of God. And why don't they preach on the sons of God instead of slaves? It's because it has something to do with this. Control. Mm-hmm. All right? The other verse that they ought to concentrate on is friends. Christ says, "I don't call you guys servants now. I call you friends." I looked up the word friend, and it means lover. How about we love Him because He first loved us?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it should be.
But you also have the fact that there, even the ESV, if I'm correct, even has that verse.
Yeah.
Where it's, yeah, where they change it to slave, but it still says, "I call you friends."
Yeah. Well, all the new Bibles stick in the word slave everywhere they can. That is bad Bible right there. You don't want to get stuck with those Bibles. They're wrong. God will not even bless those Bibles. And if you see a church that you think is being blessed, I tell you again, you have a bad Bible, you're stuck with half spirit and half flesh, and you'll never be fully in the spirit, because those Bibles have verses that are flesh nature, and God will not honor it. Our topic today is the good, the bad, and ugly, the fruit. This is the good fruit of the resurrection. Jude 21. There's two things. I have a ton of verses down here. We just want to go through a couple. What's the good fruit we're looking for? The first fruit is love. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And that's like a command to every one of us. Keep yourselves. Hang on to it. Don't lose the love of God. And the love of God is, He died for all our sins. And He washed all our sins away in His blood. Every single day, keep your sin counts short with the Lord. Don't let sin continue. I know it's in our nature, but keep the accounts short so you don't fall and drift away from the Lord. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Looking for the mercy. It's God's mercy that forgives every single one of our sins, not of works which we have done, but according to His mercy. That's it. There's nothing special about any of us. It's His mercy that God has saved us. The other thing, the reason we sang the song, One in the Spirit, because the second fruit we need to look for is unity. This is the heartbeat of Christ. This is His prayer for every single born-again Christian upon this planet. That they... Now, I don't know if there's 23 million Christians or 50 million across the world. The number is not that great. Not a big number at all. That they all may be one. We need to be one. One time when I was a single bachelor saved, I was going up, I think, to see an Indians baseball game by myself. So I'm driving up the road, and there's this tall guy with long hair, you know, carrying a huge book. So I stop, I give him a ride. Well, this guy with the long hair and the big old book, he was carrying a King James Bible. And so I was just starting to learn about the Lord in my younger days, so I started hitting him with questions. I said, well, do you know what time of the day God starts? And he answered the question. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, and the evening and the morning was the first day. God starts His day in the evening. Now, when do you and I start our day? In the morning. So if you and I would have written the Bible, we would have said, the morning and the evening was the first day. No, God starts His day in darkness. Fascinating. So if you study the Jews, if you study timeline in the Jews there, they always start their day right when the sun goes down. That's the way the banking system does it. So 6 p.m. tonight, or whatever time it gets dark, I think today is, what, 27th? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, they start the 28th, 6 hours ahead of us. Okay, that's when they start their day. Very fascinating. But here's the heart of God, that they may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee. God the Father, God the Son, are one. We see the two, but He says He's one. And, of course, with the Holy Spirit, it's still one. That they, refer back to us again, that are born again, also may be one in us. All one. That the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me.
You're in John 17, aren't
you? Yes, John chapter 17, verse 21. This whole verse could be a whole lot of fun. There are seven church ages. In the scriptures before Christ returned, we're in the final church age known as Laodicea. The one before that was called Philadelphia. The word Philadelphia means brotherly love. That the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. When we are all one in Christ, the first commandment, the greatest commandment Christ said of all time, is to love God with all your heart, your soul, and mind. Second great commandment is love one another. Love one another. When God sees you and me loving one another, He doubles the spiritual power, and He does amazing things. When you take a look at the United States is the only country in the entire world built that was the Philadelphia Church Age. There are so many great stories of what Christians did 100 years ago. We are so far from that today. We are so far. But that's the heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may be one. Now, this is one of my favorite comic strips. This is my favorite. This is called Pearls Before Swine. And here's a zebra, and the crocodiles of the comic strip is always trying to eat the zebras. So you have a little conflict going. There's other characters, but this one here says, "How dare you, stupid croc, try to kill me in my own bed? Die, die, die." And here's the crocodile. "One moment, please." And he quotes a scripture. "But me tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Matthew 5:44. Smack. I prefer the Old Testament. Yeah, that just cracks me up because that's the way I see Christianity today in the United States. Everyone is going around with their Bible smacking people in the head. And that's not good fruit. But I think that's what the problem is with the United States. Okay, we're going to get into the bad fruit pretty quick here. The bad fruit of the resurrection. Our unity in Christ is defeated. There's at least three things it's defeated by. Let's take a look at our context. And this is where we have a little bit of fun. Mark chapter 3. If you go to Mark chapter 3, we're going to try to expound a couple of verses with the rest of the message here. Mark chapter 3. Verse 22. Okay. We'll start with verse 22 here. "And the scribes, which came down from Jerusalem, said, He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils." How about that? There's a few things that we want to learn about scribes here. I call verse 22 here, Bible versus the Bible. Take a look here. You've got these guys that are scribes. Notice plural, scribes. They're hanging out together. These scribes here, their job was to take the Old Testament and copy it down word for word. If they made a mistake on the manuscript, they were to burn it and start all over again. Word for word. Get that in your mind how long it would take you to take the book of Genesis and copy that out word for word. And there are certain ways that they had to do it. But that means they copied down at least the first five books, and I don't know if they copied any more after that. But that was their job. If you and I were to take the time, every single king in Israel, starting with Saul, was supposed to take those five books and make their own copy so that they would know how to rule Israel. Word for word. Had Saul did that, he would not have ended up in the problems that he had. All right? For us as new believers, I would suggest if you ever have time, copy out the New Testament and get to know the heart of God. It might take a long time, but you'll discover neat things in there and you'll have a closeness with God that you never dreamed of would be possible. But Bible versus Bible. Now consider this. Here's a whole bunch of scribes. They're coming into the presence of Christ. Christ is the author of the book. Guys, look here. This is his book. This is his book. And he's meeting the scribes. These scribes do not recognize the author of the book. It's a sad state affair for Christianity today not to recognize the author of the book.
The solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.